You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters.
Episode 16, Canning and Preserving, Capturing the August Sun with host Linda Borgi.
Well, hello there. Linda Borgi here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? How's everyone doing this fine day? Yep. Well, today I am really excited to talk about one of my favorite things to do in farming, and that is capturing the August sky in a can. Now, I am recording this in the beginning of July, but this is going to publish towards the middle of August, when everything's starting to come to a flush, right? And wasn't that a great episode last week, episode number 15, with my dear friend, Miss Marcia Howe? Boy, Miss Marcia Howe puts everything in a can. She's like the queen of fermentation. She knows how to spell SCOBY. I don't. I have to learn yet. But when it comes to capturing the August sky in a can, I have quite the her story, actually, when it comes to that. I love putting food in jars. I really do. In my beginning years, when I was a gardener and I was gardening on a smaller scale, I always planned extra of food that would go in jars, like tomatoes or fruit, green beans, cucumbers, and gosh, it's 30 years now and I'm still doing the same thing. Now, I didn't have anyone that, you know, showed me the ropes with this. Not even my grandmother. My grandmother didn't can anything. I was just really wanting that taste in my mouth. I didn't want to just have the taste of that tomato off the vine, right? Just in August when I was in the Northeast. And then it would be there for a certain period of time. And then that taste would be gone. I really needed that in February when there was 5 feet of snow out my kitchen window. And I wanted to make a nice pot of stew or soup or, you know, gravy for pasta. So what would I do? I would go to my canning area in my home. And I did, for 2 years running, put up 500 quarts of food in jars. Yeah. Now, why did I do it? It was just me and my husband. That was just the two of us. Well, at that time, we were vegetarians. And because I'm Italian, everything started with tomatoes and garlic. Anything else was extra. So I used a lot of tomatoes, number one. Number two is it would thrill me to go to someone's home, like for dinner or just to hang out, you know, for a visit and this and that, and bring them that taste of the August sky in February or January or December, you know. Boy, the reaction that people give you when you do that, it's really incredible. It's like you're giving them $1 million in a brown paper bag. And in reality, you are. Because not only is there food in that jar, not only was that food grown biodynamically with a life force that just vibrates at the same vibration that we do, right? But it is jam-packed with love. Lots of love. You know, canning is a very inward process for me. And I suppose it's because I come from a background of business. I always look for efficiency, you know? So I would have like the ultimate setup, you know, for my canning operation. I would, what I did was I purchased a camp stove, a camping stove, a triple burner camping stove. Yep, triple burner. Now, this triple burner camping stove is on four legs. It's not the one that's on the ground, you know? So it's like a regular stove and it's connected to propane. Now, why didn't I just do it, you know, on the stove in my house? Well, number one, it's the summer and it's hot outside and boiling water heats a place up, you know, really quickly. So I wanted to do it outside, and on this type of a stove, it really gives you a very blue, clear, clean flame. And if you're a wood burner, especially if you heat your house with a wood burning stove, there's a term, and it's called skirting a blue Hawaiian. That's when your wood stove, you open the doors and it's nothing but blue flames, because a blue flame is very hot and it's going to boil that water really quickly, right? And I would have my a table set up, you know, water bath, everything set up that I needed. And I'll go over all those steps with you. So, no worries. So I would, but efficiency and the place that you have to start really is in your head. Process, 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 right? So if you're planning on canning, if you're planning on putting some food in jars, right? Think the process through. Where are you going to do it? What time of year is it going to be? What about your counter space? What quantity are you looking? How many jars are you looking to put up? And where are you going to place that food after they're in jars? Okay, so all these things, you really want to think out very clearly. Now, if you're not farming your yard, which, you know, I ask everybody if they're farming their yard, and if not, why, right? You can go to your local farmer's market, and you could probably, I mean, chances are the size of your farmer's market would be the determining factor, but you could buy some items in bulk. When I was in the Hudson Valley, I would go to Hefner Farm in Montgomery. I would go right to Jack Hefner. He was an 89-year-old farmer, you know, farming everything. I knew what color his eyes were. And I bought my Roma plum tomatoes from Jack by the carton full, right? And I would set it all up. I knew, if I knew how long it took me to do one carton, one bushel of tomatoes, right? Then I knew how long it would take me to do 10 or 15 or 30. And 30 is what I did 2 years in a row. 30 boxes of tomatoes. It took me 3 weeks in order to do that. And I'll give you some pointers for doing this with your home canning. Now, I consider myself an expert in canning tomatoes. Now, how did I get the information? All I did was Google it. And then I proceeded to watch every single YouTube video on canning tomatoes. So I got that, you know, educational information in my head. And what I saw was this, that there's two ways of canning tomatoes. One is that you put the tomato in the jar and then you would close the jar and put it in a boiling water bath. And another was to let it seal by itself, because that's what you're doing when you put it back in a hot water bath. It's to seal the top. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to confuse you. But that was the determining factor for me, that I was going to do the one-step process and not the two-step process. Now, this is what determines, and this is just with tomatoes. This is what determines whether or not you can do that. are you canning just tomatoes with nothing else? I mean, not even one leaf of basil, not one clove of garlic, nothing else but tomatoes. Then you could do a one-step process. If anything else goes in with that tomatoes, then you have to put it back into a hot water bath. And I believe it's 45 minutes, but you could check YouTube and find that out. But let me tell you what my process was. I just wanted to put my Roma tomatoes in jars, right? And they didn't have to be whole. I wasn't very particular with that. It didn't matter to me, because I was just going to use that as my raw material when I was cooking my stew or pasta, gravy, or whatever. So what you do is this. You boil a pot of water. Next to that pot of water, you are going to have a water bath with ice cubes in it. Another pot. Cold water with ice cubes. And then the third station would be an empty pot. So what you do is you take your tomatoes and you throw them into the pot of boiling water. Now, this process is just to get the skins off. And boy, at the end of the day, my pile of skins would be in my stainless steel big round tub. So beautiful. All that red. Oh boy. And then, of course, compost city. But anyway, so you take the tomatoes out of the boiling water when you start to see the skins crinkle up a little bit. And you'll see that you could see the skin actually separating from the tomato. Don't be concerned if you put them in there for too long. You just don't want to take them out before their time, because you want those skins to squeeze right off. And then I have a big scooper strainer with a handle. So after I saw those tomato skins would get all wrinkly, I would scoop those tomatoes out with my hand scooper strainer, and I would plunge those tomatoes into the ice water and move them around until they got a little chilly. Then I would take the tomato out with my left hand. I'm right-handed. With a serrated steak knife, I would cut off a little bit of the end of where the tomato was holding on to the plant, where it was attached to the plant. So you cut that side off, and then you take the other end, which I call the hiney end, and you just squeeze it, and that Roma tomato should pop right out into the empty pot that is right next to the stainless steel bowl or whatever with the ice water. Then you proceed to do this throughout your, you know, you get all your tomatoes into this pot, okay? Now, I would take that pot and I would stew those tomatoes. I would heat that entire pot until it was bubbling, stewing and bubbling. And you'll see that even the Roma tomatoes, even the plums, they have quite a bit of water. So you want to boil that water off, because look, you're looking for the August sky in February. You have water coming out of your faucet, right? So boil that water. And I have a really tall pot. I have a pot that's 3 feet tall. That's my tomato stewing pot, right? Now, when those tomatoes are stewing, then you want to prepare your jars. And the way to prepare your jars are, you take a pot of water, and I use a canning pot because that fits 7 quart jars, and it doesn't matter if they're regular quart jars or if they're wide mouth. That's irregular. I always use the wide mouth though. So much easier to get things in and out of it. So anyway, you take that canning jar pot with boiling water, and I would submerge a canning jar. Actually, I did like 3 or 4 at a time. And they would be in there boiling. Then I take a long wooden spoon and I would use the handle to stick into the jar to get the jar out of the boiling water, because then I could tip it so all the boiling water is out of it and I'm not getting burned. And I would take that jar when it's boiling hot and take the stewed tomatoes with a ladle and ladle it into the hot jar, put the top on, and put the lid on, and then put the screw top on, not screwing it 100%, but because this is going to expand a little bit, but not too loose. And I would put it on my rack. Those jars self-seal. You could hear them popping in the background. And at the end of the day, if any of them did not self-seal, and you could go with your finger, and you could see the indentation, you know, I would take all the rings off, all the screw-on rings, because you don't need those to leave on. You know, that's not doing anything but holding that lid on so that that wax seals. That's the only thing that screw top is doing. So I take all of those off. I check my seals, right? And I put them on my shelf. That is with tomatoes. Just tomatoes, folks. No basil, no this, no that. The only other thing that I would put in that jar would be lemon and salt, because the tomatoes of today are not nearly as acidic as they were years gone by when canning was an everyday practice and it was a part of, you know, your survival. That's really the word I wanted to say, because if you didn't can, there was no cans in a stupid market. So, I do put some salt and lemon, but you could get these recipes on the internet, on YouTube. So then, so that's canning the August sky, but that's not we're not just looking at tomatoes in August. My goodness, everything. What isn't there around, right? Zucchini and basil and cucumbers and, oh, cucumbers. Now there you go. That's another favorite category for me. You see, I would put food in jars that I love to eat because, it's all about me. Not really, but you know what I mean. So pickling is easy peasy, boy. Really easy peasy. Fermentation, really not a difficult process. I'm going to get Marsha on to do a podcast about fermentation. I'm going to get her back on so we can really discuss SCOBY. She could teach us all about that. And how to do that process, because she has such knowledge in kitchen table wisdom. She does. So boy, my tomatoes. And here I am in Beaufort, South Carolina, right? On my tiny little yard farm, because, you know, I came here so I could focus teaching online like I'm doing right now, a podcasting. So I have a few things out there, but not nearly enough to can. But what do? I happen to have plopped myself in an area that has an abundance of tomatoes. They have two canning facilities right on St. Helena Island, maybe 7 miles from my home. And there's a third generation farm, Dempsey Farm. And you go out there and pick. I mean, it's not for, you know, like we did in the Northeast, you know, the kids will go and pick the pumpkins. No. This is you go and you harvest. So I will start to do that when I get back from my road trip, going on a road trip in a couple of weeks, folks. I mean, I am beyond thrilled. You know, my son Brandon, by the time you hear this, will already have been wed. But at the time of this recording, my goodness, he is going to be wed in a couple of weeks. And then immediately following that, that is on July the 29th, he was wed. And then immediately following that on July the 31st is the first time I will have stayed at the Healing Herb Farm in New Hampton, New York for 5 days. So I'm sure I will be doing a few podcasts on that experience, but that is yet to come. So I hope this is helpful. I will put some YouTube videos in the show notes, as well as some photos of my canning area in my prior home. And once again, thank you so much for listening. Share this with your friends. Have them download it. Let's make this exponential. Let's get this 48.5 million acres of turf grass encouraged enough to grow some food, an abundance of food, so we could put it in cans. So that's all for now, Brown Cow. I will surely see you on the flip side. And until then, go farm your yard.
Next on the Farmyard Podcast, biodynamics and preparing for fall, with host Linda Borgi and guest Stuart Lundy. This podcast is community supported. We thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you goes out to all our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy our content, please subscribe and share. You can help support us through Farm A Yard, all one word, on patreon.com.